In Jesus' prayer, in John chapter 17, he said that he wanted believers to be with him. Nothing could be better than to be with Jesus. You are listening to the Words of Life program brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ, and each week he shares a gospel message by radio. His topic today is, To Be With Me. We will hear Brother Johnson soon, but first we present singing about Jesus.
Oh.
Please pray with me. Lord, it is in the glorious name of Jesus Christ that we talk to you in prayer. Thank you for the salvation that is found only in Jesus that allows us to be with you for eternity. Please use this broadcast for your glory. Be with each listener so that they will receive health benefits and blessings, peace, and spiritual growth from you. These are troubled times with war, suffering, and selfish destruction of unborn babies. We need your godliness and right convictions for each of our lives. And when Jesus returns, help us to be ready to meet him. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Using John 17, 24 through 26, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, To Be With Me.
It's great to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is, To Be With Me. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 24 through 26. Please listen to the Word of God as Jesus prays to his Father, and he prays for all believers in this high priestly prayer of Jesus. Verse 24 of the 17th chapter of John. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. A beautiful prayer from our Lord Jesus. Question: what home are you ultimately preparing for? Some spend their lives only building temporal dream homes. Others exchange their bank accounts for residence within the gates of a retirement center. Others spend their last days in nursing homes, and still others, wherever they can lay their heads. For those who haven't received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, know this: choosing Christ and your eternal home with him is the most important decision you will ever make. Who else do you know that offers a luxurious eternal home without cost to you? Yet Jesus Christ states to those who genuinely receive him by faith, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, New King James Version. God's heaven is a real place, not just a state of mind, as some claim, not some kind of fifth dimension, as others claim. It's a physical, marvelous place we can finally call home. Jesus Christ paid the cost in full on the cross at Calvary to be invited to the mansions we must only be in Christ Jesus through saving faith, overcoming faith as overcomers in this life. God's grace will take care of the rest. For the believer, the words of Psalm 23 and verse 6 shall come true. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the meantime, the sure antidote for troubled hearts, Jesus reveals, is in John chapter 14 and verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Therefore, steadfast faith can calm anxious or agitated hearts. Jesus, shortly before he had to endure the cross, prayed fervently to his Father, and two of his precious petitions concerning all believers. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, as it says in John chapter 17 and verse 24. So think about it. In the shadow of the cross, Jesus was thinking about us too, including believers today. When we will have close, intimate fellowship with him in paradise, and to see the fullness of his glory, the splendor of all of his superlative attributes radiating forth. In the meantime, as we all age, it seems we do too often allow our hearts to be troubled about so very much in this world. It's certainly very human to be concerned about our loved ones. And when our own health begins to falter, or any of the other crises that may come up in our lives. Billy Graham gives some sage advice. Billy Graham, an American evangelist who is now with the Lord, gives some sage advice along with trusting God to redirect our minds and hearts from the negative to the positive. Quote, someone said, the gift of old age is remembrance. Life itself still keeps me motivated at age 93 as I watch God's hand at work, not only in my own life, but also in the lives of those around me. These last few years have brought the gifts of remembrance through observation and reflection. Consider these biblical references and our personal application. Quote, remember all the way which the Lord your God has led. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, New American Standard Bible. Also, remember and hold fast. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 3, King James Version. And also, remember the word of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 13, New King James Version. Also, remember his marvelous works which he has done. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12, New King James Version. These type remembrances are worth recalling time and time again. Strive to crowd out the negative from our minds with the wonderful truths of God in the Scriptures. I often hear people younger than me talk about their sleepless nights. There are times I experience the same. But then I remember those marvelous works he has done. And I recall what the psalmist poetically penned, quote, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Psalm 63, verses 6 through 8, New King James Version. There is great comfort available, even to the aged, when we remember him. Not only does the Lord instruct us to remember, but the Bible reveals what the Lord himself remembers and what he chooses not to remember. For example, he remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103, verse 14, New King James Version. To the repentant, their sin I will remember no more. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, New King James Version. I am so glad I can remember that promise. Because I have repented of my sin, God chooses to forget my sin. This is a glimpse into the heart of our Savior, well worth reflecting on. The Old Testament is filled with such remembrances. It even says, remember the former things of old. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9, New King James Version. Society today may not like the word old. For example, the Oldsmobile has been discontinued. Yet young people pay a small fortune for blue jeans that look old. Collectors put the highest value on antiques. Why? Because they are old. Others buy old clunkers, restore them, and then proudly drive down the highway showing off the old that has been restored. As the years passed, it gradually dawned on me that I was rapidly approaching what we politely call the mature years. I became reluctantly aware that most of the people I saw were looking extremely young. Then there was the experience of having a server in a restaurant give me the senior discount before asking if I was qualified. Also, there was the slow but steady decline in energy, obvious aging in appearance, and more frequent illness. And especially the aging and death of people I had known most of my life. Does all of this sound familiar? Billy Graham continues. Many who are very active fight slowing down. But someday, they'll be too old and they won't like it because they aren't emotionally prepared for it, the inactivity. However, is old age only a cruel burden that grows heavier and heavier as the years go by? Or can there be something more? In the New Testament, God reveals numerous examples of men and women who were used of God, yes, in their older age. Take, for example, Anna, who was a widow until she was 84. She spent her time in the temple worshiping, fasting, and praying. God rewarded her devout faithfulness as she met and joyously recognized the infant Jesus as the promised Messiah. Her story is in the second chapter of Luke. The Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, possibly in his 90s. True, these are extraordinary examples. But we as Christians should not think that our usefulness for the Lord is over in our older, more feeble years. Most everybody can pray. And prayer, fervent prayer, is important and not easy to really focus on meeting with God, on communicating with the living God, and not just for petitions, but praise and thanksgiving and just pure worship in prayer. The key to fulfilling latter years is to be as prepared as possible mentally, physically, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually, for whatever old age will bring. Anna and John, for example, were able to do what they did because they prepared especially their minds, hearts, and wills for the challenges that would come. They trusted that if God gave them a long life, then He would still be with them and that he would have a reason for keeping them here. That growing older was not something to be denied or dreaded. It was to be embraced as part of God's plan for their lives, and which can be the same for our lives in Christ Jesus. Key was their having overcoming faith, trusting God no matter what comes. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." This was not just for the apostles. This still applies to all believers of all ages, certainly even those in the mature years. End quote from Billy Graham. Reflect on this real possibility for all believers. Moses died at age 120, according to the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy. Joshua, his understudy, was to take on the reins of leadership over Israel. You can be sure that Moses' godly character had a huge impact on Joshua. Moses had his failings, but it says of him, "No prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Deuteronomy 34:10. Let's make an application. All of us, as Christians, have, so to speak, FaceTime with many people, family and friends, neighbors, even those that we don't really know well, strangers. What kind of impact are we building in them? What testimony, what legacy are we passing on to others? What are we remembering that God has worked in our lives that we can share, that we can pass on to others? Don't retire from life. Don't resent growing old. Many never experience this. Invigorate your life. Share the good, the godly, with others. Share the good news, the gospel. Remember, God by His Spirit is within you and will help you in this most valuable endeavor to share your life experience, your insights, your stories, that they in turn can remember and pass on to the next generation. Let us as Christians have a part in helping others to fulfill the words of Jesus, to be with me as their reality.
Amen.
To be with Jesus, we must first believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. We see by New Testament that believers showed their faith by repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Savior, and were baptized in water. If you have not made this decision for Jesus, we encourage you to do so today. If we can help you by answering questions, please contact us. We also encourage you to find a true Bible-believing church that can help you in your needs. You may have a free CD of this and next week's broadcast by asking for program 2235. That's 2235. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.